You're listening to Hot Talk with Jill Tracy
on Hot 105.
And welcome back to Hot Talk. Oh, we were having a great conversation while we were on the break. I hope you went and got a cocktail for the second part, because I know so many of us, male, female, and otherwise, I would suggest, we'll ask the doctor, but, you know, there is an age that I think most people believe you should, you know, start thinking of these things, and it's not 16. We definitely want to talk about, you know, when is it appropriate to start thinking of it? Because for as long as I never thought about it as an option until, like I said, I started to carry around two different bodies. We'll talk about that. And, you know, I would offer you that you can, I know you will have questions. So you can hit me at jill@hot105fm.com. And Dr. Rubenstein has agreed to come on with some regularity.
Hopefully we'll get him. As regular as you want to make me.
Right? Awesome. Okay, so we will have him monthly, and then you can send your questions, and we will get them answered. And maybe you can join a conversation and join us on a recording. Because as you all know, I join you each and every Monday through Friday morning on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. So, yeah, if I don't want to have surgery for the bags under my eyes because I don't get any sleep, we pre-record tonight's show, so you can't call in on the hotline. But please feel free to send info to Jill@hot105fm.com if you have questions, and I will make sure that I get them to Dr. Rubenstein, and we will discuss on an upcoming show. So when we left you, we were talking about a myriad of things. But one, I want to kind of circle back to, you know, plastic surgery was the province of the wealthy for a very long time. Where would you say that, you know, I'm going to say maybe back to the 70s? When and what was it that allowed it to open up, you know, to people could create a savings account for, you know, 2 years and get their surgery done?
Well, it's an interesting question. I don't know if there's one turning time, but I think, I mean, we all talk about social media, and even starting with the early days of Facebook, I mean, before there was an Instagram or Snapchat,
yeah,
and people started talking and sharing a little bit more, but that really turned the tide, you know, putting everything out there and people talking about having things done and sharing it in social media, you know, yeah, having Facebook groups about having procedures. That really made it kind of mainstream. And yeah, over the years, more and more people have shared that they're going to have something or did have something done. I mean, you know, you think classically, like years back, you think about Cher, right? You,
yeah,
think about Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
Right? And all these famous people, icons in their industry, and they were transparent about it.
Yeah.
That's unusual because, you know, not only was it the purview of the wealthy, but also, you know, rich and famous, so to speak. Everyone in Hollywood who's trying to, you know, look fresh and stay young looking, it's been a secret. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Right.
And now, because of, I think, trailblazers like Cher, like Joan Rivers, and like K. Michelle, for one.
Exactly.
You know, bringing it out in the front, just making it something that, hey, it's okay to talk about this.
Yeah.
And making it not this taboo thing. That has slowly turned, but I think the big thing that really made it more accessible for everyone, mm-hmm, was how available it is in social media.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to ask you about that because you have been a real advocate, you know, of shutting down the foolishness and people really knowing what you're getting into when you try to have plastic surgery, and what are the do's and don'ts and the pitfalls and what should be the red flag for you. Because do you have to be board certified, or is a better way to ask that question, what are the licenses and achievements that you have to reach to be able to do this surgery?
Oh, that's a great question, and you're going to be shocked at the answer.
Mm.
Sadly, none. You don't need to have any particular certification. You have to, in order to legally do these procedures,
mm-hmm,
you have to have two things. You have to have a medical license, you have to be a licensed doctor, and you have to have patient consent. So if you were, let's say you were looking to get your eyes done and you were looking around for a doctor to do it for you,
right.
You could go to an emergency room doctor. You can go to a pediatrician.
I was just about to say, can I go to the vet?
Well, the vet would be, that might be pushing it. But hey, listen, this is Miami. I'm sure
right?
that has happened.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying no. But you could legally go to a pediatrician or a proctologist, right? You can go to any kind of doctor. And if you will sign a consent saying, I give this doctor permission to do this procedure, then he or she can do the procedure on you perfectly legally, even though they might have zero training in plastic surgery.
And that's why we have so many of these incidents in Florida.
Well, that's one of the reasons.
Yeah. And the other one would be?
Well, there's a lot of them. I mean, look.
I mean, but aren't we sort of the capital?
Well, I think we've become that, unfortunately. I mean, we're one of the capitals of procedures being done in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have higher numbers, you're likely to have more complications because, you know, more procedures, more complications.
Yeah.
Bad things happen in good hands. Any doctor that tells you that they've never had complications is just not being real. And I can tell you, I've had patients with infections. I've had patients with wounds didn't heal right. But I've started that process, trying to make sure my patient is healthy, minimizing the risk, trying to make sure we have everything in our favor. Even so, you know, 1-3% of the time, you're going to have complications. You just got to be able to navigate with your patient through it. You know, take someone that has a problem with wound healing, has an infection, and then treat them properly and get them through that process so that they can get to the other side, get beyond that complication, and then enjoy their results. Where things really go off the rails is, well, it starts with unqualified or underqualified doctors doing this kind of work. Perfectly legally. There's no law against stopping them. And that it really is mind-blowing.
Yeah, because there's no red flag. You can't say, look for this red flag and, you know, make another choice.
It's hard. But I can tell you, there are things you can look for that will guarantee that you're seeing the right kind of doctor.
Okay.
Because you don't want to be that person laying down for your surgery, realizing, wait a second, didn't I bring my kids to you 2 years ago?
Okay.
And now you're doing my lipo?
Right.
You know, that happens.
Jeez.
And people with zero training. So the way to ensure you're going to see someone that actually has gone to residency programs and trained to do this is by looking for a certification by the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
That's the only one that can verify.
Yeah, that,
right.
The American
Anything
Board of Plastic Surgery, exactly.
Yeah.
That and there are organizations that use the word cosmetic surgery in them.
Yes.
Not the ones that are recognized by hospitals and most major administrations. The way that you get board certified in this country is through the American Board of Medical Specialties. That's the group that governs board certification for this country in the United States. In the ABMS, the American Board of Medical Specialties, there's only so many member boards. There's only one board that certifies plastic surgeons in the American Board of Medical Specialties, and that's the American Board of Plastic Surgery. That's it.
Full stop.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you hear cosmetic, they are not, in my opinion, it's just not legit.
Right. So if you see cosmetic, it is no such thing. You can go get your Maybelline. Many people have died now.
Yeah, too many.
Going in to have plastic surgery. Are there any protection? I mean, you know, it seems that my thought is that you do your due diligence. If you're going in on to have some serious surgery, you at least Google the person.
Yeah, but you know, that's true. But even Googling it can be misleading.
Right.
And that, you know, it's one of the things that I talk about in Instagram. I have a couple different Instagrams. Right? I have the one for my practice, which is at Dr. Rubenstein. And just Dr. Rubenstein. And that is about the practice. It's where you can see live surgery. If you check out the story, every time I'm doing surgery, we're sharing it. You can see the follow-ups and see what the real deal of plastic surgery is.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I do for education. We have other kinds of posts, you know, some funny stuff that's out there, just kind of making fun of these problems and shining light on them. But then I've got Plastic Surgery Truths. And Plastic Surgery Truths, at Plastic Surgery Truths, plural with an S, that is all Q&A. It's all questions that people send me. We make a video to answer them, give them a shout out. And that is a great way to get a little bit of a real education in whatever you're wondering about. I mean, anything you ever wanted to know about plastic surgery. So in Plastic Surgery Truths, sometimes people will send me a question like, well, what do you know about Dr. Smith or Dr. Jones? And it's really difficult for the average person to know what to do, right? You said a Google them. Okay, so you Google them. So what's going to come up when you Google them? Let's say you Google Dr. John Smith. Mm-hmm. And I'm, just to be clear, before I get another letter from somebody.
John Smith.
it's a made-up name. I'm not talking about any particular Dr. John Smith. Okay. Because I have been sued more than once over this stuff. Yeah. And I'm okay with it because I think this is a necessary
evil
that I have to deal with in order to help educate the public. So I do it willingly.
I appreciate that, yeah.
And, you know, I've been threatened to be sued. I have been sued. I've been the victim of a fake review campaign against me that, you know, people posting fake one-star reviews using my name against me.
But, I was watching a special about that. That's a thing right now.
Yeah. It's a big problem.
It's like an industry.
Well, yeah, this one is really salacious. It was out of Russia. So you talk about Russian misinformation. Come on.
Wow.
So what I do, say someone will DM me in Plastic Surgery Truths and say, hey, what about Dr. John Smith? What do you know?
Right.
The average person's going to do what you said, right? They're going to Google. And you Google Dr. John Smith, and his website's going to pop up. And you think he's going to say anything bad about him? No, he's the best thing since sliced bread, right? He's the best doctor ever on his website.
Right.
And if he's not a plastic surgeon, he ain't going to say, hey, by the way, I'm not a plastic surgeon. I'm a radiologist that's moonlighting at night, or I decided to change my career. I wasn't happy as a pediatrician. Now I'm going to be doing plastic surgery, which, again, you can do legally. He's not going to announce that. So there are ways for you to figure that out. And I have to tell you, the state of Florida has a great website, which is the American Board of Medicine. I'm sorry, the Florida Board of Medicine has profiles on every doctor. And you're supposed to put information in there. You're supposed to put what your training is, where you went to medical school, where you did your residency, are you board certified?
Mm-hmm.
And all that information is there for you. You may not know where to look.
Right?
And I've seen other doctors come to me as patients. And it's shocking to me. I went to see Dr. So-and-so, Dr. John Smith. I said, Dr. Smith's not a plastic surgeon. And they look at me with these wide eyes like, "Are really?" And this is an educated person that's in my profession, that's in medicine.
Right.
And they don't know themselves. So it became painfully obvious to me that it's too difficult for the average person to figure this out on their own.
Yeah.
So what I do is if someone DMs me, hey, what do you know about Dr. So-and-so? I will look it up. It takes me 2 minutes. I'll sit down, click, click, click. I'm looking at the Board of Medicine. There's another website you can check out called certificationmatters.org. Mm-hmm. And that is the website for the American Board of Medical Specialties as I mentioned before, they're the ones that kind of regulate board certification. So you can go to their website, certificationmatters.org, put in a doctor's name, and it'll spit out every doctor in the country by that name that is board certified in something. So, for example, let's say you went to Dr. Smith to get your eyes done, like I was saying before, and they say, oh yeah, sure, I'm board certified. Well, sure, they're a board certified family doctor, right? But they're not a board certified plastic surgeon.
Wow.
I mean, even asking, are you board certified, is not enough. You can be fooled because they'll say yes, and it'll be true. They're board certified, just not in plastic surgery.
And they will do the surgery thinking that, if I can heal an arm, I can, take off some fat.
Listen, you can get away with it a lot, but sooner or later it's going to catch up to you. And that's why it's one of the big reasons we see a lot of problems in South Florida.
Yeah, because it just takes that one, or two or ten to have a disaster happen. What would you say? It's a little morbid, but what would you say the percentage of people having, just in Florida, having plastic surgery that is successful versus?
Well, okay, so let's go to the, to talk morbid, let's go to really morbid. The research has shown, and this is an approximation of numbers, if you're talking about people that will die having plastic surgery, let's go cut to the chase, right?
Yeah.
The worst thing that can happen is you die.
You die.
Right. And that is extremely rare in the right circumstances. Mm-hmm. Research has been done, and it's about one in every 40 to 50,000 procedures. So that's a lot of procedures.
That's good to know.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you have a greater chance of dying from common things that happen all the time than you do in that kind of procedure. Now, that varies procedure by procedure, but I've used that statistic to compare some performances of other doctors and other clinics. Right. And I mean, I did an analysis of one clinic that was more than 20 times that death rate.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I've written blog articles about clinics that have, you know, terrible records with causing deaths. I haven't done it for a while because you haven't, the particular clinic that I wrote about back then hasn't had a major issue in the news yeah. for a while. But now we're seeing they just shut down. They had an emergency order on a doctor that had a death recently. I think it was at a clinic in South Florida.
Yeah.
South Miami, a New Life.
We did that story. Yeah, I can't.
And it was
just recently.
It was in New Life. Yeah.
yeah. And the woman flew down here from like Cincinnati or something.
Yeah. She was from out of town.
Yeah.
And had a pulmonary embolus, which is a very common way that, you know, when people die, yeah. it's a common reason for their death, cause of death. But it's actually not that common a thing to happen in surgery. And it's also known that if you use certain technique, this was during a BBL, that you can avoid it. So, you know, that happened. And then the state, I have to tell you that in recent years, the state has been a lot more progressive and aggressive
yeah.
in trying to shut down the clinics, trying to shut down doctors. So, I mean, they didn't waste time. They quickly put out an emergency order limiting that doctor from doing those procedures.
Because it seems like it's gotten a lot more common. It used to be that when you had a procedure, you had to go to the hospital or, you know, you had to go to the doctor. You were in a hospital. You were in a controlled environment. Now it's like these off, you know, well, turn left and right next to Winn-Dixie in that shopping plaza. That's where our office is and that's where we're doing
yeah,
the surgery.
I was...
Where am I rehabbing? Okay, well, there is a Days Inn around the corner and we have rooms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's a real story. And actually, we can get a whole other topic about recovery homes. Recovery homes is pretty much a South Florida phenomenon.
Wow.
You know, it's not something you see in a lot of places. Now, there have been recovery services. There's been some big clinics have their own little place that they'll send people, and they've got nurses working there. And mm-hmm. it can be done right. And even some of the recovery homes here in South Florida are trying to do it right.
Yeah.
But that's a whole cottage industry that's already been in the news multiple times.
I can't tell you how many little stories I did.
That's what I'm yeah. talking about. And a lot of these times, it's not even a nurse. It's a nurse's aide, or it's just someone who, you know, slept in a Holiday Inn Express. I mean, come
yeah.
on. It's no qualifications. And people, they're being left to be observed. And you might have one person for six or eight patients there,
yep.
which is a terrible ratio if you're trying to keep people safe if they're immediately recovering from surgery. There's a lot of problems. And there's no regulation. There's no category. There's just no category for recovery homes. Now, I think they can serve a good purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to regulate it and just make some rules that people can follow and actually get certified, right now they basically have to comply with assisted living facilities, ALFs, right? So if you're going to open a recovery home, you have to comply with these ALF things. An assisted living facility is like where grandma goes
yeah.
to live out her life when she can't live at home by herself.
That's
not the kind of place you need for surgery, but that's what they have to comply with. There is no way for them to be legal right now. And so because there's no rules, it's kind of like the Wild West. None of them are really legal because nobody's getting that ALF certification.
Yeah.
And it's a whole cottage industry that's blossomed because we do so much surgery here. And there's no way to make sure it's safe. There's no way for a patient to look at a facility and say, oh, if I go to this recovery home, then I know I'm in good hands. And you may be. Or you may not be.
Yeah. And so we'll pick up there on our next show, because that's a whole nother cottage industry that I've heard stories of groups of girls that come down here. There's a surgery center that they go to, and then somebody has the hookup.
Yeah.
And particularly, this is happening to a lot of women in the airline industry because a lot of the stewardesses, they rent Airbnbs from homes from people, so like seven or eight can stay in one house. They're all saving money. And if they're not there, then they're booking it with their friend. Well, I'm gonna get my face done. I'm gonna get my nose done while I'm down there. So why don't you know, it's a whole nother little industry.
Yeah.
And these Airbnb, you know, property owners are making a fortune, so there is no investment for them whatsoever to even care what's going on in that house.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. There's so much to talk about. If you have questions that you want to ask, you can please give me a text it to me or at thejilltracyshow@gmail.com. You can go to get a pen quick. 786-383-4880. You can text questions there as well. You know, you can always call me here at the station. Dr. Rubenstein, finally we did our first show. I'm so excited. Yeah. Well, no, this is actually our second show because we
That's
did
true.
A show
That's true.
About Kay Michelle's premiere. How is she? Do you keep in touch with her?
Occasionally we do communicate, and she's doing well. She's just so excited. She got a lot going on. That girl is dynamic.
Yeah.
She is a force, and she's got irons and all different kinds of fire, and you know, just God bless her and kudos to her. I give her a lot of credit.
Yeah.
She's just moving. You know, you asked me before we went on the air, is there going to be a second season?
Yeah.
I still haven't heard. I hope so. I'd like to be able to help more people. I know she wants to do it. I guess we'll wait and see, but she's got a whole lot going on, and you know, she just had a big hit with her single that she put out. So,
well, you know, supply and demand is a real thing, and there is definitely both. When it comes to, you know, body modifications, let's just call it that. And I think that people really do have a sweet spot for Kay Michelle, that she was, and I will certainly speak for myself as well, that she would put it out there. Yeah. And in a way, she did a couple of interviews where I thought were very authentic.
Yeah. But that's her. I mean, you say authentic, that's the right word, mm-hmm. because she doesn't put it on when the camera turns on. That's who she is. She is really trying to share it, and she cares. She really wants to make sure people know.
Yeah. Awesome. And we do too. So we love you, mean it. I will talk to you in the morning on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. Bye-bye.
It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live.
Always local.
Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.